Well, good evening, everyone. Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, the time for Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by the Words of Wisdom. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and it's a privilege, an honor, and I pray that tonight that God get the glory for everything that goes on. I always have to say thanks to you, because without you, there would be no Wednesday night inspiration. I also have to thank God, the head of my life, for allowing me to be able to do this program. I pray that everyone had a great week, and there's so much tribulations going on all around the world, and mostly in Louisiana. Many people lost everything that they own, and some people even lost their lives. And we have to be mindful and prayerful for people, because we have to remember we were in the same place that they were in. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when we was going through what we were going through, it seemed that the world was just going on about its business. But that's the way that it is. And just as well as we, you know, wanted someone to understand what we was going through, we have to, too, understand what they're going through. And we all should lift up prayers unto them. Our prayer list line is getting longer and longer, and I'm going to read the people that has asked Wednesday night inspiration for prayer. And one of the persons, I'm going to start with Elise Art. Please lift her up in prayer. Barbara Hawkins. Sister Diane McBride is still asking for prayers for her sons and her grandsons. We have a new name added to it. Remember this name, Daryl Terrence. Everyone calls him Big D. We asking that God do a good thing for him, and that he's able to recover and regain his strength and the life that he enjoyed living. We have Marvin Brown. I don't know if you guys remember, some time ago, right after Christmas, it was a guy in my neighborhood, and he had got hit by a car right after Christmas, and it shattered his legs and crushed his chest and you know, split his head, and he was in the hospital, and the word was going around that he was dead, but God saw different. His name, they call him Scooby, but I have a praise report, because on this last week, he came to my house. He had someone to bring him to my house. So he is doing better. But lift him up, because his body still have to heal. We have Gladys Phillips. She needs your prayer. Bonita Washington, Cynthia Sanders, and Henry Lafayette. Those people have requested prayer from Wednesday night Bible study. And we should all want to do our part. So keep the people's name in mind. And if you don't remember their name, just pray for the names that went forward. We don't understand and know all of the needs, but we could still pray for God's blessings to be upon them. Well, I want you to know that our lesson tonight, the title of the lesson is going to be Jesus Started to Feel the Pain and Suffering Even Before the Cross. Jesus started to feel the pain and suffering even before the cross. And we was in Mark last week. We're still going to be in Mark, but tonight is going to be Mark, the 14th chapter, the 32nd through the 53rd verse. As always, we have to go to the throne of grace, because God is a good God. He's saying all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests known. and anything you attempt to do, if you bring God in it first, and that after it then got all messed up, I guarantee you that your way would be made straighter. God said he could make crooked roads straight, and he could take a mountain and make it plain, put it down. God could do anything but fail. And we have to believe him to walk this walk in this life on this side of heaven. So as always, we're going to enter with prayer. Y'all know the drill. If someone want to pray, press the one button. Madison is with me again tonight. So if no one pressed the one button, I'll go ahead and let Madison pray. And we'll go ahead and go into the lesson. Pray for him as he come.
Good evening, everybody. Now let's open up in prayer. God, please be with us while the lesson is going on, and that in the lesson is clear, and that everybody will want to be educated more about you, God, and that people like this lesson to try to learn more and try to teach other people this lesson and take them to this broadcast so they can listen to other people, and try out other people's blogs, broadcasts, and ours, so they could be educated. And only God's knowledge, the right knowledge that we should be following, God. And please be with everybody else while they're listening so they can hear the full aspect of the lesson and they won't miss any bits of the lesson, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Madison. So we have into the throne of grace. God is with us. And you know, you might say, well, how you can say that, Sister Diane? Because the word of God tells us that God said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And when two or more are gathered in his name, he'll be in the midst. And that's why I can say he's right here, right now. So what I'm going to do is play a song, because with the lesson tonight, you know, the title of the lesson is Jesus thought to feel the pain and suffering even before the cross. If you sit down and meditate that as we enter into the season, the Easter, the religious season of Easter, which is recognition of the risen Christ, we should be meditating and concentrating and realizing and understanding what Jesus Christ really did for us. So if you think about the suffering of Christ and his death, his burial, and his resurrection, the song that I chose, Say I Won't Complain, that should be enough for you to say that you won't complain, because Jesus paid the price. All to him we owe. He makes our way every day, and he gave up, God gave up his son, and his son gave up his life so that we can be saved. So hear the record as it comes, and after that we're going to go straight into the lesson.
I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights, but when I look around, yeah, I think things over. Outweigh my bad days. I was a blur. Sometimes the clouds hang low. hardly see the road. I asked a question, Lord. Lord, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. Although my weary eyes, they can't see. So I'll just say, thank you, Lord.
I Won't Complain by Reverend Paul Jones. You know, when we look at our life, and if we could really think things over, we could truly understand that we've been blessed and God was giving us a testimony, or he was bringing us through a test, or he was using that situation, circumstance to mature us, to get us into a place where he wants us. You know, complaining happens because, you know, and all of us have complained because we're human and we emotional people. But if you look back, you know, that record said that he dried my tears away. What's the difference of you still crying over what you was crying for and not crying now? It's the grace of God. Come on now. The thing that you thought was so terrible and you couldn't get over, and it was the worst situation in the world, and we must be careful not to get to the ooh and woe is me, because you start having a pity party as if what happened to you has never happened to someone else. You know, Paul said in all circumstances, we have to keep pressing. And James said, when you fall into divers of temptations, he didn't say if you fall, he said when you fall. So we realize that life circumstances is going to do what it does. And it's never what comes our way. It's who we go through it with. And his name is Jesus. They have more callers than called in. And we in Mark, the book of Mark, we in the 14th chapter, the 32nd through the 53rd verse. And the title of the lesson is Jesus Started to Feel the Pain and Suffering Even Before the Cross. And I wanted to tell you that tonight because, you know, we think about when they whipped him and when they beat him and they nailed the nails in his hand and put the thorns thing around his head that, you know, maybe you might have not, you may have thought that that's when the suffering started or that's when the pain began. But I came to tell you tonight that Jesus started to feel the pain and suffering even before the cross. Well, for the introduction tonight, either plenty of times I would do, you know, give you some background or stuff. But since we in the 14th chapter and we did verses 1 through 25 last week, I'm going to reiterate on that a little bit, and then we're going to go to the lesson because there may have someone who wasn't with us last week. And if you was with me last week, it should give you a refresher on what you did. And in the Holy Spirit may give you some new revelation about it. And I asked you to read the chapter, the whole 14th chapter again. And I put a little note on there that said, you know, review is a good thing. So when I start the lesson, that's what I'm doing so you could follow with me. And I pray that everyone was able to read the scriptures and the chapter. You see, when I was studied open on last week, we open up with the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. You know, when you hear the word of God, when the program is over, the next day, if you meditate on the words, it's going to stay with you. Some may not even remember that that's what the lesson was about, but we refreshing today, and it's a good thing. When the study opened on last week, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread would be in 2 days. You see, Mary of Bethany, which was Lazarus and Martha's sister, had anointed Jesus with expensive perfume. She broke the box and poured it over Jesus, not knowing she was preparing him for burial. You know, Judas goes to the high priest to betray Jesus. You know, after the Passover, he left out. Jesus told him, go do what you have to do. You see, when he went to the high priest, they was delighted to hear this, and they promised to give him money. Talking about last week now, y'all. Jesus then prepared his disciples for the Passover, and the Passover was a time of remembrance for families to celebrate when the blood of the sacrificial lamb had saved their ancestors. I also brought in the fact and a correlation that happened in the Old Testament and the New Testament, right up on Jesus becoming our sacrificial lamb, and his precious blood has the power to save us. That sounds so good to me. I don't know about you. Jesus used this Passover meal to be his last supper with his disciples. We learn that the Last Supper provides the spiritual basis for the Eucharist, the word I had problems with last week, and thanks for the call of Troy at McGee in California. But the Eucharist is another name for Holy Communion and is mostly used by the Catholic faith. It's also known as Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper. You see, at that meal, Jesus Christ told his disciples to eat the bread and drink the wine as a symbol of his body and blood. When he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. You know, you ever think about that when you take your communion? He told him, he said, when you break the bread, he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. He said, do this in remembrance. Hallelujah. In the same manner, he also took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You see, he spoke about at the Last Supper, the betrayal of one of his disciples and the denial of him by another one of his disciples. He talked about all these things. What do that let you know? That Jesus is omniscient. He's all-knowing. None of this took Jesus by surprise. And, you know, one of the reasons I could say that his suffering started even before the cross, because Jesus knew all of this. And yet he decided to pay the price. You see, our lesson opened tonight with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he expressed his pain and suffering. And he was in the garden and not yet on the cross. So if we read the scriptures, I'm in Mark 14. I'm going to start at the 32nd verse, and I'm going to read all the way down to the 31st. And the scripture reads as follows. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I pray. And he had the disciples, he had 11 of them with him. And the reason it was 11 with him, because Judas wasn't with him, because he was so busy with the high priest trying to make a deal. So when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he had his 11 disciples, and he told them to sit right there while he go and pray. So he left them there, but the next scripture tell you that he took Peter, James, and John. So they went to a different part of the garden, and they began to snore, amazed, and to be very heavy. That's sleeping in a deep sleep, snoring, heavy sleep. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Come on, y'all, he's saying, tarry ye here and watch. That's what Jesus told them. But you see, Jesus had an inner circle comprised of Peter, James, and John. You see, that he had a special relationship with them, and they call it the inner circle because plenty of things that Jesus revealed to them, he didn't always reveal to the others. And plenty of times when Jesus got ready to do special things, he made sure they were with him. You see, he took them on special outings. He allowed them to witness his greatest glory and his deepest temptations. He prayed with them. He taught them things he did not even teach the others. He even introduced him to his heavenly father, family, his heavenly family at the Transfiguration. For those who don't know the Transfiguration, you know, that's when Jesus had Peter, James, and John, and he allowed, hallelujah, Moses, the giver of the law, and Elijah, one of the chiefs of the prophets, to come down, and they saw him. And they know, you know, that one of them had been dead for nearly 1,000 years, and the other one was caught up in heaven about 900 years before that. So when they saw that, they knew it was a miracle. Jesus let them see his heavenly father, his heavenly family at the Transfiguration. You see, 12 of the disciples was with him, but he took Peter, James, and John with him. Judas was already off betraying him. But this is what you have to. It should make you wonder. Even with all of their knowledge and insight, they were not able to stay awake and pray. That's something, huh? That is really something. And you say all that, you know, many people say, you know, if I could have just see Jesus make one, do one miracle, you know, I'll serve him for the rest of my life. Or they wonder, you know, how the people back then saw all of the healings and the miracles and received all of the one-on-one teaching, and yet they didn't comprehend. But, you know, it's kind of the same way we are. Jesus, or really God, gave us, Jesus and God is the same person, gave us a Bible. The Bible has 66 books. It includes, I'm sure, not all of the miracles, not all of the healings, but the ones he thought was necessary. And it's more than enough for us to believe and still be able ourselves to say, I'll serve you the rest of my life. But if you look around in the world we live in, you know, plenty of people ain't stuttering about Jesus. And some of them who say they are don't act like it. And others who say they do, and plenty of times they act like they do, there's still more work to be done. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we all have to get committed at some point in our lives to want to do more. You know, the Bible tells us this life is only a vapor and it's temporal and it's going to pass away. But the things that we do for Christ will last. And now if we look at the 35th, 6th, 7th, and 8th verse, it reads as follows. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it was possible that the hour might pass from him. Jesus is saying, Lord, if I could skip going to the cross, if I could skip the beatings and the whippings and the nails and the thorns and the lashes in my back, hallelujah. If we could skip this, he said, I wish you would. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. He said, can you take this cup from me? Now, that's Jesus. You know, sometimes God might give us an assignment to do, and we don't really want to do it. And just like Jesus said, can you do it another way? But even if we bring that petition to God, we should still always add, but not my will, but thy will, and do what the Father asks us to do. He said, can you take this cup away from me? But he come back and he said, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thy wilt. Come on now. I wish you could, but if you can't, you know, I'm gonna do it. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and said to Peter, Simon. Now it's amazing. I'm, you know, just teaching the Bible now. Peter's name used to be Simon. You see that scripture say Peter, Simon. Peter's name used to be Simon, but God had changed his name to Peter. Because Peter means a rock. Now, plenty of times when you read in the Bible, it shocked me because it confused me, so it made me study. When you see the new name, when God has given someone a new name, but when they acting out of context with who they are, he sometimes call them by the old name. So you see right here, Jesus was sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon. He pulled that old name out because he was acting like that old, was about to act like that old man. Come on now, y'all. And Jesus just didn't say Peter. He said, Peter, Simon. He said, sleepeth thou. He said, couldest not thou watch for 1 hour, Simon? Peter, watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. You see, the word of God has given us this, and we see that God had so much compassion and always trying to help him, and he didn't pull nobody else out, but out of the ones that was there, he knew what Peter, Simon, was about to do. He said, come on, man, pray, or you're going to fall in temptation. And then the scripture read, the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Now y'all know what's when. Now you know when and where this scripture was first said. Jesus said, the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. You see, Jesus was trying to get out of this task. Ain't no doubt about it. You know, you don't have to say he meant something else. He said, no, Father, if you could remove this cup. So let's not twist what it said. He was trying to get out this task. You got to remember that he was totally God, but he was also totally man. You know, and no one goes looking for pain, agony, and suffering. Jesus was only expressing his true feelings, but he did not deny or rebel against God's will. He reaffirmed his desire to do what God wanted. Jesus' prayer highlighted the terrible suffering that he had to endure and the agony so much more magnified because he had to take on the sins of the whole world. Are you willing to take on somebody's sins? And all of the consequences that go with them. You know, if your child commit a sin to go to jail, are you willing to take that sin, that fault, and go set in the jail? But Jesus took on the sins of the whole world. You see, this cup was the agony and the thing that would annihilate him from his Father, because see, it was gonna separate him. It was gonna separate him from God, his Father, at the cross. Pay attention and understand what he was asking. You see, the sinless Son of God took on our sins. And because he had on our sins, God can't dwell in sin. So when Jesus would take on the sins of the world, because he was wrapped in sin, come on now, he couldn't have the true fellowship and the intimacy with his Father, because sin separates us from God, and it also separated him from God. And it's so sad, because it wasn't his sin, it was our sin. But yet he had to get alienated from his Father. While praying, Jesus was aware that doing his Father's will would cost him dearly. But he kept a bullseye on the big prize. Come on now. Can we keep focus on the things that God tell us to do to have our success, or do we waver in our faith, and do we pray, and then we worry, and then we worry, and then we pray? You know, we taught, if you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, you don't need to worry. But Jesus kept his eye on the big prize. He understood the suffering that he was about to encounter. The Bible tells us all the time that we will be prosecuted for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our prosecution is nowhere near what is happening to other people around the world, or what has happened to the people in the old days. John the Baptist's head got cut off. Peter was crucified, but he asked that he be buried upside down to give reverence unto Jesus. He didn't feel worthy. You know, Paul was killed. Stephen was the first one killed for the gospel, and they stoned him with rocks. That's persecution. You don't have nothing like that. And yet we lackadaisical about how we handle the word of God and how our conduct be before God and how we answer the call from God. See, he knew it would cost him dearly, but he kept the bullseye on the prize. He understood all he was encountering, and he did not want to have to endure being separated from his father, even for 1 second. So when you think of the agony of Christ and when he asked for it to be removed, he knew the pain and sufferings, and he probably said, I could deal with that. He said, but I'm going to be separated from my father. And he didn't want that. But yet he said, not my will, but that you will. But what you will. You see, when we accept the will of God in our lives, it will give us a place, a peace that surpasses it all understanding. Plenty of times in situations you can't have peace because you take your eyes off of God, like Peter did when he was walking on the water and he sank. You see, anything worth having always causes you something. You know, the world even said no pain, no gain. He returned and found them sleeping again. He told Peter, couldn't you watch and pray for an hour, lest you enter into temptation? You see, here Jesus is teaching us that we must watch, keep watch, and pray to stay vigilant. You see, when he said the word watch, he said, after growing in grace, when Peter, he had to tell Peter don't fall into the temptation. So Peter might have was a little immature. He wasn't operating in so much faith at that time. And we know a lot about Peter. But you see, when he was telling them watch, what he was telling him to do, you know, Peter learned it after he had grown in grace and the knowledge of God. Well, you say, Sister Diane, how you know he got it? Because, you see, if I go to 1 Peter 5:8, Peter said, let me tell you something. You must be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking who he may devour. You see, that's what Peter was able to write when he had become matured, you know, when he stayed on his Christian journey. You know, where you are right now don't have nothing to do where you're going to end up. But you got to keep pressing. The Bible said the race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. You got to hold on. You can't give up. Peter, after learning and became all that he could be in Jesus Christ, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary. You know, some of the things you could say about God now, you couldn't say 5 years ago. You couldn't say, I know God gonna work it out together for my good. But as you grow in grace and God's knowledge, you have more understanding. You have more strength. And you could be vigilant. You could even see the devil poking his stinky head out at you. But it's all a process. And if you look back over your life right now, and you're no better off in the word of God and your commitment to God and knowing of God, then I have to tell you something is wrong. And then he said, we should pray. He told him to watch and pray. You see, when we pray, this is how we maintain our vigilance. Because Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. See, that's the word of God. And I'm going to tell you this. If you begin to focus on the purpose God has given you, not what somebody else got, not what you think. I'm talking about the purpose God has given you. This is how you do God's will and not your own. And if you don't know your purpose, go into prayer with God. Because where your purpose is, that's where your success is. You know, Jesus didn't say it, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, our spirits never have a problem with doing anything that is right, but it's the flesh that have a different agenda. That's why they always talk about the war going on, and that war is between the flesh and the spirit. That's why when we die, the first thing happened when we die, the flesh disappeared. And when Jesus come back for us, he's going to take off that corruptible, which is the flesh, and put on incorruptible. So there will be no more war. That's how every day going to be Sunday and Sabbath to have no end, and every day going to be hottie, hottie. There will be no flesh there. You see, and if we go to 39, and it reads 39, 40, 41, and it reads, and again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them sleep again. Come on, y'all. For their eyes were so heavy, neither will they what to answer him. And then what that's saying, their eyes were so heavy, they were so deep in sleep. This time when he asked them a question, they couldn't even hear him. And they couldn't answer him because they didn't hear him because they was deep in sleep. And he cometh the third time and said to them, look, just sleep on. Just take your rest. And look what he said at this point. It is enough. He said, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinner. Rise up. Let's go. Lo, that he that betrayed me is at hand. Let me read that part again. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinner. He said, rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrayed me is at hand. He's saying the one that's betrayed me is on the way. He said, now y'all keep sleeping. The time has come. It's nothing else I could do but go to the cross. My teaching days is over. My healing days is over. The miracles in my ministry is leading to the cross. He said, now, right now, it's enough. The hour has come. Let's go on and get this started. You see, he prayed again to the Father, and he asked him the same question. Take this cup if you can. He came back. They were still sleeping. The third time, they were still sleeping. He says, enough, and the one that's coming to betray me is on the way. See what he was saying? The time and the season has come. All of us have a time and a season in our lives. You got to know that. We have to know in life that there is a time to hold and a time to fold. Jesus couldn't keep going on and do what he wanted, trying to get Peter and them to understand more at this time, because the time for that enough had passed. You see, this was the appointed time that God's master plan would unfold. All the pieces were in place, and the times that the prophecy would be fulfilled. You see, this is the time. You see, it just was the time. You know, they spoke about Jesus in the Old Testament, and the prophecy had to be filled, and now the prophecies was about to be fulfilled. This was the time. And Jesus is saying, it's time, and let's go, because I am ready, willing, and able to fulfill my purpose and God's master plan to redeem his people back to him by providing salvation. What a wonderful thing that Jesus did for us. And I have to pause and say thank you, Jesus. We can't take this so lightly, people. You need to look at your salvation and how you got it. You need to sit down, meditate, and remember. And he told us with the Last Supper, as often as you take your communion, remember me. And right now, y'all at the Wednesday night Bible study, and this is not a substitution for church. And I'm going to read 43, 44, 45. And immediately while he spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him great multitude of swords and sheaves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Come on now, they all coming, a whole bunch of them. And he prayed, and he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. Come on now, that was his boy, one of his 12 disciples. Come on. But did you know that one of the 12 disciples had to betray him? It was written in the prophecies that it would happen. So, you know, Judas even had a purpose. It's not one I would like. Come on now. And as soon as he had come, he goes straightway to him and said, Master, Master, and kissed him. You have some people in your life that you think they do something so bad. Well, I come to tell you tonight, this was one of Jesus' 12 disciples that he ate and slept with and walked with and taught and teached and went to sleep together with and all of that. And he came and he kissed him because that was the sign he had told them. You see, I want you to know that everybody with you don't have your best interest at heart. And if they did it to Jesus, they'll do it to you. They may have a private agenda with destructive intentions included in it. You see, Jesus knew all that would happen, and he was ready to do his Father's wills in the midst of all of it. Jesus had tunnel vision and only interested in being obedient to his Father. Judas thought that he was giving Jesus a kiss of death, but it was a kiss that opened the doors to the tree of life. Hallelujah. For you and for me to enter eternity with the Father, Judas gave a kiss, but that same kiss opened the door to the tree of life. You see, never forget that all of this was a part of God's master plan to redeem his people unto himself. Jesus was human, so of course he had started feeling the pain and being betrayed by one of his own. But also as God, knowing that it's all necessary to happen, and he was willing to pay the price in full. That's why the Bible says Jesus paid the price, all to him we owe. He paid it in full. If we look at the 46th through the 49th, they say, and they laid their hands on him and took him, and one of them that sat there drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut his ear off. And Jesus answered and said to them, are ye come out against a thief? You know, look how you're coming at me, man. I ain't did nothing. With swords and with sheaves to take me. He said, I was right there with you daily in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scripture must be fulfilled. Come on now. You see, the soldiers came in and manhandled Jesus. Jesus said, you act like I'm a criminal with your swords drawn on me. Look at this, y'all. This is the same way some police handle our youth. This lets us know that police brutality is nothing new. Jesus was innocent, but he was put to death. We have many people that have been placed in jail and maybe even put to death that didn't even commit a crime. I'm just letting you know there's nothing new under the sun. The one that cut the servant ear off was that same Peter. And when he did that, I guess if his name would have been listed, they wouldn't have just said Peter. They would have probably said Peter Simon. But Peter was the one who cut the ear off. But you see, when you know who you are, when you truly know who you are. And Jesus knew his purpose. You know what he did? He picked the man ear up and put it back on in place. You see, Jesus was letting Peter know, hey, man, this battle is not yours, but the Lord's. This is not an earthly thing. It was all spiritual and God's plan before the foundation of the world, and the prophecy is being fulfilled. And as I close tonight, they got a scripture in between there. It's really, the scripture is 52. And it reads about once a young man was there, because y'all have read it twice, I hope. There was a young man there, and the young man was standing there, and he had on a cloth robe, like a cloth shawl, and he was standing there with it wrapped around him, and when they start questioning him, he got nervous, and one of the guards held a cloth, and he ran away, and they say he ran away naked. I just want you to know that I went and researched to see who the young man was, because it only said a young man, and the book of Mark is the only book that this scripture is in. And they have a lot of assumption who it was. And since I mentioned it, I could give you some of the assumptions, and you might could study and find a little bit to go with it. But some people believe that it was Mark, because it's only his gospel is the only one that included. Some people believe that it was Lazarus, because, you know, he had raised Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus was so thankful, you know, he might have was following him around. But having a cloth on you with no clothes under was the way that plenty of them slept. So some people believe that in the Garden of Gethsemane, they had like a garden house, and a person that was there in the garden who stayed on the grounds heard the commotion and came out with his night clothes on, you know. And some of them believe that it could have been one of the, you know, somebody else that lived around there. I couldn't find out exactly with positive evidence who the young man was. I just threw that in for lanyap because I didn't read that verse, because I was going to skip over it and then do my conclusion. But as I conclude on tonight, I'm using 53 to conclude, because after everything that has just been taught in verse 53, they say, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were some assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. You know, but I'm a close you with this. Certain things that I say, remember, Jesus knew everything would happen to him. His agony was because he didn't want to be separated from his Father. He knew that the prophecy had been filled. You see, Jesus knew why he was on earth, and he knew every detail of it. And the fact that he knew every single detail of his suffering indicated to me that he must have suffered through them many times, contemplating. He actually got there because we have to remember that he was omniscient, which means knowing all from the before the beginning all the way through eternity. So he knew the suffering. He knew he was going to have to be separated. And like tonight's lesson, you know, I say, even before the cross. We have to remember, none of these people, you know, you'll say, well, why did God let them do that to his son? It was written, baby. Why God didn't stop him from whipping him? Because it was written, baby. Why did God allow them to stick the iron nails in his hand? Go in the Old Testament and read the prophecy, baby. But just like we suffer here on earth, and we may ask God why. You see, when we leave this earth and into eternity, you're not going to even remember none of this. You will not take pain with you. You're not going to take bad feelings with you. You're not going to take anything. And God says, set your sights on things eternal, because the things right here and right now is temporal anyway. When you die, you're not going to have a remembrance that you were sick or that you may have been raped or that your mama didn't love you like you should have. It's going to be left. It's going to be erased. It's not going to be carried over. And God allowed his son to go through all of that for the bigger cause, for the biggest prize, for your life and my life, and everyone that would accept him as the Savior, believe on him as a Savior, call him their Lord and their Master, and believe that he did rise, and he's the only living God. Come on now, y'all. That's why God did it. It wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. Hallelujah. You see, and as I close, and the title of my lesson say, Jesus started to feel the pain and suffering before the cross. No one took his life. He surrendered unto the pain and suffering for all mankind, for all times. Come on now, y'all. Hallelujah. You see, the nails, as I said earlier, couldn't hold him, but his love for us kept him on the cross. And as I close, I ask you to ask yourself, what have you done for him lately? Well, that's our lesson for tonight. I pray that God is pleased. I pray that something was said that can edify you, because in your edification, God get glorified. And at this time, if anyone have any questions, concern, want to add someone else to the prayer list, want to pray, I have a caller. Caller, your number is 504-450-3131. Your line is open. Caller, your number is 504-450-3131. Your line is open. Evidently, that was an error. So I have another caller. Caller, your number is 985-774-71. Your mic is open.
Yes, Sister Diane, I just wanted to say that this message was really, really, really good. And I'm just so impressed about you and your work. No, I honestly believe I'm a sinner. I'm definitely a sinner. But when I sin, now I think the Holy Ghost is telling me that when Jesus was walking down with the cross, I'm spitting on him and I'm putting a crown on him. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, like you contributing to it because of your actions.
Because of my
actions. That's how you feel, you're saying?
Yes, yes, yes. I honestly really do. But at the same time, I'm out of flesh. And when my kids are going through things, I can sin. And I just keep praying, quit sinning. You know?
Right. But let me just tell you this, baby. You be encouraged, because you at a great point. Because you, the way you express it and the tone in your voice, you are godly sorry. And, you know, we gonna all fall, they say we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But you are godly sorry. You know, they have people do all kind of things and they don't even think about it. And some people, they're not careful. God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. So you in a great place. And remember, God said that you could not stop sinning in and of yourself. That's why I sent my son. So when I all my encouragement with the gospel and with religion and honoring God is that we be better tomorrow than we were today. And if you could look in your life and you say, you know, a lot of the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. That's growth. And you keep pressing, like Paul said. He said every time I go to do good, he said evil is always present. He said, but I press for the mark of the high call, which is Christ Jesus. So, and let me tell you something else. You go to Romans 8:1, and the Bible said it's okay to be godly sorry, but stop condemning yourself. There's no condemnations to those who are in Christ. And that's one of the tricks of Satan. First of all, we can never be worthy, right? For all that Jesus did.
Right.
But Satan want to make you feel terrible.
Because we're fleshy, you know?
Right. But Jesus said when he died, he stamped on you, not guilty. Now, don't keep making yourself guilty. He said, not guilty. Come on now.
Yeah,
so we have to remember that, and we have to grow in grace and knowledge.
When you know you actually sin, just because of stress or whatever, it makes me feel like just what you said. When Jesus walked back, the other people were sleeping. You know, it's like we're just too fleshy. We're too human. And I gotta quit looking at the world, and I gotta look at spiritual things. Because
that's right.
Okay, you understand that? Okay,
I understand. This is what I hear, that you want to, but it's gonna happen one step at a time, one day at a time.
And I think the Holy Ghost is correcting me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, and I'm not talking about big sins, you know what I'm saying? I'm just talking about frustration, you know, and stuff like that.
You want to be better.
And yes, I honestly want to be with Jesus and God.
You already with, you saved. That's taken care of. Now you just trying to please him here because you done already took care over there. Jesus paid the price. He gave his life. If you could save yourself, Jesus wouldn't have had to die.
I know.
That's how we recognize and give him honor for what he did when we know what he did. If we could have saved ourselves, we wouldn't need a savior.
Right.
So don't think you could do good enough to save yourself.
It hurts me when I sin because I feel like I'm the one who spit on him. I'm the one who put the crown on him. I'm the one who stabbed him. When you sin, that's how you feel.
Right. So you ask for forgiveness and you keep it moving.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Diane.
Jesus paid the price for you, baby. He done guaranteed your salvation. He done locked it up. God got it. They're waiting for us when we get over there. That's done. But you got it. All you're trying to do is walk the best you can in this world right here, right now.
Right. When you actually said, when he came back and his fellowship was sleeping, you know, it reminded me of me. It's like, okay, you can't sleep on this, you know?
Right.
You know?
We shouldn't. But we do because we're human.
Yeah.
And flesh going to have us doing fleshly things. That's why I tell you that there's a war, and it's between the flesh and the spirit. And God knows when he come back for us, he's going to take that flesh off. Because the flesh will have us acting crazy over there. So you ain't going to bring it. And it's going to be all fine. So you just keep pressing for the mark. You just keep holding on to God's hand. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And rebuke Satan out of your head whenever you see him coming.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's hard to do, but I keep
yes,
holding on to God.
Keep holding on.
Hand. And that's all I can do. I keep holding on.
That's it.
Yeah. And admit what I talk, what I do. Sometimes it's wrong.
All of us. Let me give you this flash bulletin. All of us. And the Bible say, if anyone say that they don't sin, they're a liar and the truth is not in them. Okay? This is not a Diane McBride thing. This is all of us that lives in this flesh. One way or another. Some say you want to classify sin, the big, big sin or the little sin. Sin is sin.
Yeah.
So if you ain't doing no adultery and no murder and no this and none of that, and you sit down and overeat, it's called gluttony, and it's a sin. And this sin plenty of people don't think about, because God say to know to do, and don't do it, to know what is right and don't do it, is a sin. What I'm saying, you might have a neighbor next door and a child is coming outside with no shoes on in the wintertime because the family really can't afford it. You know what is right and don't do it. It's a sin. So when we try to say what sin and what's the big sin and the little sin, the Bible say anything that exalts itself up against the word of God is a sin. And we are in the flesh, baby. And until his flesh is gone, flesh is going to crave and do fleshly things.
Yes.
That's
because
why Jesus stole him.
It's not all. His knowledge is so greater than ours.
That's right. And he know all of this.
I can't understand it. I can't.
Right.
I can't.
And that's why he say, you know, probably tonight, he's in the Bible study because we invited him in. And he say, Diane, you know, I got you, you know, come. I got you. All right. I got you, Diane, you know. So it's all good. And God is pleased because you're godly, sorry.
No matter if I mess up or not, I keep pressing in. I keep pressing in. And I'm going to press in until the Lord takes me.
That's all he asks. He said, a race is not given to the swift, but those who endure to the end. So, sister, you be blessed. You keep enduring. And because of your godly sorrowfulness, God's going to honor that. And just keep pressing and be blessed.
Bless you too. Bless
Thank
everybody
you.
On the phone.
Thank you. I have another caller. The call is 504-715. Your mic is open.
Hello?
Yes, your mic is open.
It is. Girl, I know that I hit my button.
You wanna our lesson is wrapping up anyway. Since I got you on, see, God press that button. Hallelujah. If you would, pray, sing us a song and then a short song and then lead us out in prayer, it would be a wonderful thing. That's Sister Elyria Mackey, y'all, our songstress from Boothville, Louisiana. She says she pressed that button by mistake. Yeah, right. God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, with who he wants. But that's just Elyria. If they have any more comments, you could press the one button. If not, I'm going to let her sing a short song, and then she's going to pray us out, and the lesson will be over once she gets through singing and then praying, and we'll go ahead and close. So, Sister Elyria, would you be willing to do that for us?
Mm-hmm. There is one thing I know, Jesus loves me, and so I will pray, and I lift his name. For he has brought me all this way, and he keeps me day by day, for he always always remains. He remains the same. What a blessing. What a blessing in Jesus I have found. There is peace, love and joy all around. Precious joy, He's unfold. The Lord has written, never been told. What a blessing in Jesus I found. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for tonight, oh God. We bless, Lord God, everyone that has been calling in. We pray for those that need a healing, those that need miracles, oh God, because you are God, and besides you, there is no other. And I know that your word said all your promises in him are yes, and they are amen in Jesus, oh God. God, I thank you for every hearer on tonight. I thank you for everyone that called in. I thank you for Sister Diane, God, that you would keep on encouraging her heart and let the peace of God rest, rule, and abide with all of us until we come together again on next week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Mackie. Thanks, everybody who called in. If it's the Lord's will, we'll be back next week. I just want to continue to remind you that God loves you and so do I. And if the Lord say the same, we'll be back next week. And we're gonna finish walking through this walk, you know, about Jesus and going to the cross and paying the price for us. So that's our program tonight. I pray that each and every one of you be blessed. And hope you come back next week. Same time, same station. Good night.